Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Tomorrow Never Knows, a Beatles podcast. And there's some more big news. The Red and the Blue albums are out, and today I'm going to talk about the new mixes on there. And I'm going to start off with the Blue album, because there's only six new mixes on the Blue album. Out of 36 songs, there's only six new mixes. There's a lot of 2015, 2017, whatever, but only six 2023, if you don't include Now and Then. I'm going to start off with the song that is just everyone's just lost their mind about. Everyone's just freaking out about it, and that is I Am the Walrus. It's certainly a different mix, to say the least. What people are saying, and what I agree with, is that the strings are turned right down, and, you know, that's like one of my favourite parts of the song. The end sounds like some kind of old sci-fi movie. The King Lear part is just practically wiped out. One of my favourite bits, that Sit You Down, Father, Rest You, that's barely audible in the end. The part that irks me the most is when John's singing Sitting in an English Garden. When he sings the word sitting, it's really low, and then it turns up really quickly. It's quite jarring. Now, I don't know. At first, I thought that might be like a mastering mistake or something, but there's no way these days they'd let something like that go past. To me, it sounds like what I'm the Walrus might sound like live now. And I guess, in a way, it does sound more true to John's original demo. You know, he was just playing the piano and singing. But he asked George Martin to put those strings on, to put those effects on. And Giles Martin has just taken liberty with that. You know, he's played around with the backing vocals. He's done all sorts of things. And I can understand why a lot of people don't like it. I can understand why some people hate it. Me, myself, I don't mind it that much. I think I love I'm the Walrus. I'll have as many mixes as you can throw at me. But this mix here, it doesn't belong on the Blue album. The Blue album, the Red and the Blue album, are greatest hits. They're Beatles' greatest hits albums. They need the greatest hits versions. This belongs on something like a concept album, like a love album or something like that. You know, but as I said, I love having all those versions of I'm the Walrus, and they should put out if they put out an I'm the Walrus EP with the four versions, you know, I'd buy that in a heartbeat. But I really don't feel that it belongs on the Blue album, because, you know, if you listen to our last podcast, my brother and myself were talking about how we started off by getting, he bought the Red album, I bought the Blue album, and they were introduction into the Beatles, especially the Blue album. That was, you know, I'd heard a lot of the earlier stuff on the cartoons before, but the Blue album was an introduction to the later stuff, and there's a lot of young people that are getting into the Beatles now, a hell of a lot of young people. And this, I don't want this version to be the version of I'm the Walrus for the next generation. But that's not really up to me. That's just me being a cranky old man. So how does it compare to the other versions? Well, in my books, the mono, original mono version is number one. The original stereo version is number two. Number three is the love version, which is far superior to this version. And this comes in fourth. Like I said, you know, I don't mind it. I'm glad to have it. And probably, you know, being such a crazy Beatles completist, I'd buy the Blue album just for that. If they do a remix of Magical Mystery Tour album, they need to address this. They need to go back to the original and just make it crisper and clearer. That's all we want. That's all we want. And speaking of Magical Mystery Tour, that's the next song. And I do have to say, the good news is that sounds fantastic. It's crisper, it's clearer. You can really hear. I think it's one of the Beatles' most underrated songs. No one ever talks about that song, but I love that song. I love the harmony between John and Paul, and it really stands out here. So he's done a good job on that one. The next song is Revolution, the B-side. Now, that is fantastic. That sounds really good. Those guitars are blistering. They sound like they're on fire. The drums are loud. John's voice is fantastic. He's done a good job. It's a classic example of what Giles Martin can do. He can sit there, be true to the original, and make it bright. Make it nice and bright and contemporary. And just make it an awesome listening experience. And he's done that with Revolution. Oops, I jumped Fool on the Hill. How can I do that? Now, Fool on the Hill sounds great. It sounds great. I've noticed in a lot of the Paul songs, his vocals have been pushed up. It sounds like he's been pushed up. It's almost as if Paul's turned up to the studio and said, you know, with his deaf old ears, I can't hear my voice, and turned it up. But it sounds really good. You can really hear some of the chimes in there that you couldn't hear before. And it just makes it sound more dreamy, and it's a really nice experience. And I have a new appreciation for that song. Okay, next is the song I have a real, real problem with. And that's Hey Bulldog. Now, I was sitting there, when I was listening to it, I was just, you know, it was rocking out and I was having fun and I'm thinking, this sounds awesome. But then when it gets to the part where John says, you know anymore, and Paul starts barking, they turn the music right down. The music just drops. And then as soon as Paul stops the barking, the music comes back up again and it's really jarring and it's like, I don't know, it just sounds terrible. It was actually quite shocking. It's like when a friend comes over and you're playing some record and you say, hey, listen to this bit, and you turn it right up, and then when that bit's over, you turn it back down. That's what it sounded like. And I'm thinking, why? Why would you do that? You know, I know that you might think that part there is fun and everyone needs to hear it, but you could hear it anyway. I mean, you know, that's probably the worst thing that Giles Martin has done in any mix, in my opinion, except turn down the cymbals and She Said, She Said. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. But it's absolutely unnecessary, didn't need to do it, and look, if you want a good version of Bulldog, go to the Yellow Submarine soundtrack. Probably one of their most underrated albums. The Yellow Submarine soundtrack is the first album with new mixes on it. And the mix on there is brilliant. It's beautiful. The Yellow Submarine song track album was released in 1999 and it was produced by Peter Cobbin. Remixed by Peter Cobbin, and it's got some of the best remixes of the Beatles songs. I don't know why they didn't use him for all these other projects, probably politics, I'm not sure, but he did a great job. He stayed true to the songs and just made them sound better. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure you check it out. It's on Spotify. Just listen to it on Spotify. Listen to Hey Bulldog on Spotify from that album, and listen to Nowhere Man as well. Fantastic. And the last new mix on the Blue Album is Old Brown Shoe, an old favourite of mine, Old Georgie. What I like about this, he's done a good job on this, and what I like about it is he sort of brought up the harmonies between John and George a bit more, and which is really good, because you don't usually get to hear a lot of harmonies with just John and George. It's good. It reminds me of old times. It's nice and it's clear. And, you know, he's done a reasonable job with these. He's done a reasonable job with these, except for I'm the Walrus and Hey Bulldog. But is it worth getting? Oh, well, first I'll talk about Now and Then. Now and Then, does that stick out like a sore thumb? To me, yes, it does. It's just totally different production, totally different everything. The song, well, the song has grown on me. The song has grown on me. It's a very, very catchy song. And after seeing the film clip, I like it even more. The film clip brought me a lot of joy. I think it's a double package. I think you have to listen to the song while looking at the film clip. It's just great. And one thing I noticed about the film clip, I'm not sure if you guys think this or picked up on it or whatever, but I was thinking when you see the Young Beatles, which are like mostly lifted off the Magical Mystery Tour film clip, when you see the Young Beatles, and it looks fantastic, it looks great, what Peter Jackson's done with the AI, it actually looks 3D and it looks like they're standing there next to them. They don't look pasted on. But what I sort of noticed is Ringo and Paul are looking sad and melancholy. Ringo doesn't even smile once. Old Ringo doesn't smile once during the whole thing. And they're playing, and then you've got the younger Beatles, and the old Beatles don't even seem to notice the younger Beatles. And the younger Beatles are like ghosts. They're like mischievous ghosts doing all things, you know. Like when they're moving the drum kit, that looks fantastic. You know, doing all things ghosts do, except there's just this one bit when John is dancing in front of the orchestra. He's dancing in front of the orchestra, and old Paul looks for a second and has sort of like half a smile, like he's seen a faint ghost of his old friend. And yeah, the film clip's fabulous. And from what I've told you in a previous podcast about Peter Jackson and AI, there's a lot more coming. Don't worry, there's a lot more coming. All right, the Red Album. So the Red Album's got 38 songs on it, and out of that you get 30 new mixes. 30 new mixes. So just in that, it's worth it, I think. And I'm going to go through it. I'm going to use the CD numbering for it, because that's in chronological order, where the vinyl isn't in chronological order, and it just makes it a whole lot easier. So disc one, song number one, Love Me Do. Okay, we've all heard that. It's the B-side of Now and Then. I think it sounds weak. The version on the Please Please Me album is better. I expected more and didn't get it. Then track two is Please Please Me. Now, that's another disappointment. It must be because, you know, they've been using Peter Jackson's MAL software, the AI there, to separate the tracks. So they just must have been recorded badly originally, you know, back in late 62 or early 63. They're probably in a hurry. It's their second single. Their first single was a hit. Let's get another one out. It doesn't sound like there was much time spent on it. And it sounds like there's not that much they can do with it. Although, again, I think the version on the mono, 2009 mono, Please Please Me album is better. Okay, track three on disc one. Now, this is one of the gems. This is one of the gems out of all the mixes, out of the red and the blue. I saw her standing there. Sounds fantastic. It rocks out. Everything's there. The drums are beefy. The guitars sound awesome. Paul's voice is fantastic, and it is, I think, it's worth buying it just for this. But, you know, a funny thing I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, Paul wrote this when he was like 16 or 17, and all the 16 and 17-year-old kids that I see around act like 5-year-olds. So, you know, that in itself makes Paul McCartney really special, to be able to write a song that's still popular 60 years later. When I saw him in 2017 in a packed-out concert with like 40,000 people there or more, he played that, and everyone, there was young people, there was old people, everyone knew every word, and everyone was going crazy. So that's a monumental effort. And this mix, this is my go-to mix. This is my go-to mix for this. This mix celebrates the genius of Paul McCartney. Track 4, Twist and Shout. Now, this is another good mix. This is another go-to mix for me. I just love, you know, we all know the story. It was the last song they did after, what, a 16-hour session of just singing, or 20-hour session of just singing. John's throat is just ripped to pieces, and this mix really highlights how ripped and raw and awesome John's voice is. This is another song that all the kids love as well, and another good mix. I just wish Giles stuck to this kind of formula for all the songs. Track 5, From Me to You. It does sound crisper. It does sound cleaner. It doesn't have the oomph that Twist and Shout or I Saw Her Standing There has, but you know it is better, I'd say, but it could have been better. Now, here's a big disappointment for me. Track 6, She Loves You. If you listen to this podcast, you'll know how much I love She Loves You and the history of She Loves You and how She Loves You changed popular culture, but it just still sounds really muddy. I don't know what it is. They don't seem to be able to get a good mix of She Loves You. I don't know what it is, but I was really disappointed. It sounds muddy. It sounds flat. It's probably not that much different from the other versions out there, but you know, with this AI demixing and separation, I really expected more and didn't get it. Track 7, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Now, this sounds good. This sounds good. This sounds bright and clean and crispy. Not as meaty as the others, but again, it's probably the way it was recorded. Is it my go-to one? No, I think the version on Love, That's probably my go-to one. Even though it's got the screaming behind it, it still sounds brighter than this. And that's what all these remixes, and I'm not just talking about the Red and the Blue album, but I'm talking about all of them since they started with Sgt. Pepper. That's what they're missing. They're just missing the genius of George Martin. Like, Giles Martin is a good producer. He's a good producer, but he's not a genius like his father was. He just isn't. And that's not putting him down, because no one is. I'm not. You're not. Well, you might be, but I'm not. I'm definitely not. It's listening to some of these mixes just really makes me miss George Martin. Track 8, This Boy. Now, look, you can't go wrong with This Boy. This Boy is just, it's just the harmonies, isn't it? You just got to let the harmonies play out, which they've done. They've let the harmonies play out. And the guitars, the acoustic guitars sound really clear. It's really nice. It's really dreamy. They did a good job on that. Track 9, All My Loving, the song that John said Paul can write when he's being a good boy, is, look, I can't tell much difference between that and the version on with the Beatles. I think maybe Paul's voice sounds, it's turned up a little bit, and they might have added a little bit more effect. It sounds really nice, but you know, There's not that much difference. And now we come to the first of the covers on the album. Why did they put covers on? I don't know. I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to go with it. And Roll Over Beethoven, which sounds good. It's clear. It's nice and clear. It's good hearing George's voice singing that. It takes you back to Beatlemania. And they've turned up the hand claps a little bit, which I really love and gives it a good stomping feel. I think that's a really good job. And the next song, which is also a cover, is You Really Got a Hold on Me. Now, this is one of my favourites on here. This sounds magic. This is the three of them singing beautiful harmonies. It's the harmonies are really presented well. They're really crisp. The musicianship is great. All the instruments are really nice. And this is another example of what all these mixes could have sounded like. Number 12, Can't Buy Me Love. Now this sounds really crisp and clear. And I was listening to it and I thought, how did they make this clear and not She Loves You? And what I noticed is they've turned down Ringo's hi-hat so it makes it sound less muddy, which I think is a very clever thing to do. You can still hear it. It's a good job. This has always been one of my favourite Beatles songs, and I think this will be my go-to version of Can't Buy Me Love. Track 13, You Can't Do That. That's a lot of people have wondered, what's that doing on there? I've always liked this song. I remember in an interview at the time when the Hard Day's Night album came out, George saying that it was his favourite song on the album. And yeah, maybe why it's on there is maybe someone heard it and maybe Giles heard it and said, I can do something with this. And he did. He did. It sounds fantastic. The drums are great. John's vocals are great. The guitars are great. It's really bright. It's definitely, definitely my go-to version of this song. Track 14 of disc one, A Hard Day's Night. One of my favourite Beatles songs. Now, it seems as we're getting towards the end of 64... the tapes must have been better, so the mixes are getting better, and this one is a great example. It's a fantastic mix of A Hard Day's Night. Everything sounds really nice. Everything sounds really nice. When Paul's singing When I'm Home, that is just sublime. That is just sublime. That's probably why it's one of my favourite songs. Well, was because when I was introduced to the Beatles, it was through the Beatles cartoon as being a kid. And also the fact that John and Paul both sing on this. And it's just great. It's just a great version. Track 15, And I Love Her. I think Giles Martin works better when the song is more sparse, when there's, you know, not too much happening in the song, as is evidenced in his White Album mix, which I think is his best mix. Again, Paul's voice sounds great. It's just unbelievable. And the guitars and George's do-do-do-do, which he actually wrote, and he didn't get a writing credit for that, which is really sad, because that's one of, you know, that's how you identify that song. I remember when I saw McCartney and he played that he just started off with a do 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 and the whole crowd went ah! They knew what it was straight away, and George wrote that, so he should have a songwriting credit there. Track 16, 8 Days a Week. Again, can't hear that much difference, except for in the middle bit where they harmonise, and that sounds really nice. That sounds really nice. But I think I prefer George Martin's version on Beatles for Sale. I think that's got a bit more charm to it. Okay, the next song, I Feel Fine. Well, that does that does sound brighter. The percussion in it, which has made it sound a bit muddy in other mixes, sounds really clear. And good job on I Feel Fine. Track 18, Ticket to Ride. Now, I have a problem with this. Surprise, surprise. Look, when they recorded this, John said he loved the drums. He loved how heavy the drums were. He even said this was like the very first heavy metal song, and this was a chance to turn up those drums, turn them up like they did with Day Tripper. But they didn't. They didn't. And in my books, it's a real missed opportunity. It's a great song. Those drums, that's some of Ringo's best drumming because of his left-handed drumming and that offbeat that he does. And a lot of drummers say they can't do it. They just can't do it. They can do something that sounds like it, but they can't do the exact timing that Ringo does. And, you know, it's one of the times that Ringo gets to shine. Why not just turn the drums up? Track 19, the last track on disc one, Yesterday. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. It does sound like Paul's voice has been pushed up, which is a good thing. What I like about it, though, is in the strumming, you can hear the strings vibrating against the body of the guitar, and that sort of gives a real live feel. It sounds like Paul's playing it live in the bedroom, and, you know, you can't get better than that. Disc 2, track 1, Help. My problem with this is that it sounds like Ringo's snare has been turned down, and for me, that always drove the song. It was like the backbone of the song, and it's been turned down a bit. Everything else about it is good. I prefer the version on the Help album. Track 2 is You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. Now, I've got a confession to make. This isn't one of my favourite Beatles songs, so I haven't listened to it as much as a lot of other songs. But I did go back and listen to it today, and I listened to this new version, and this new version is clearer and it's crisper. It doesn't really do anything for me. I don't think it's that great. It's definitely not one of the best mixes on here. Track 3, We Can Work It Out. Now, this is one of my favourite Beatles songs because it's got both Paul and John singing, and I was so happy when Paul did it in 2017. This sounds really nice, really nice. It's really clear. It's nice and crisp. The harmonies in Life is very short, beautiful, and definitely one of the highlights on the album. Track 4, Disc 2. Now this is probably my favourite. Not my favourite song by any means, but my favourite mix, and that's Day Tripper. It is just fantastic. This is the gold standard of what these mixes should be like. Ringo's drums are up there. Everything's up. Everything's up. Just turn everything up. And everything's clear, and as soon as I heard it, I got up and I was dancing around the room, and you know, until I put my knee out. It is awesome. I would buy these three albums just for that. I really would. I just love it so much. I love it so much. Okay, with track 5, we get into the Rubber Soul tracks. And for those of us, and I know there's plenty of us, that were wanting a remixed Rubber Soul this year, well, we get half of it right here. We get 7 tracks, half the album right here. And it starts off with Drive My Car, which is beautiful. It's meaty. It's bouncy. It's clear. It sounds great. I love it. And then with track 6, it goes into Norwegian Wood. I've spoken before how after seeing the Beatles cartoons when I was a kid and then forgetting about the Beatles for a while, I came home one night and turned on the radio and I just heard this exotic music and I thought, who's that? And I thought, that sounds like the Beatles, but it doesn't sound like the Beatles. And of course it was the Beatles and it was Norwegian Wood. And what I like about this version is Paul's bass. It's in one part, I had to listen to it again because I thought there was a bass drum behind it in that part that was going da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. And I'm pretty sure that there's not, but it's a fantastic version. And again, John, when John's playing that guitar really hard, you can hear the strings vibrating against the body of the guitar, which gives it that loud sound and makes it sound like it's in your room. And George's sitar is nice and crisp. One of the best versions out there, if not the best version out there. And then we have Nowhere Man. Nowhere Man is the beginning. The harmonies in the beginning sound a bit compressed to me. And I went back and I looked at listened to the version on the song track, the Yellow Submarine song track. And they're not as compressed on that. They've got more of the original feel to it, and which gives it that original charm. I mean, it sounds brilliant, of course, but I think I like the song track version better, because also on this, in the middle, George's lead break, that's one of my favourite. One of my favourite George lead breaks of all time, especially that harmonic at the end. And it just sounds better and louder and clearer on the song track. So, but it's still a great version. It's still a great version. I'm still really happy to have that. Then we have Michelle. Again, Michelle is clearer. It's nicer. It's Paul's voice sounds fantastic. And the guitars sound really good. This is probably the best version of Michelle that we're ever going to get. Track 9, a lot of people's favourite, especially a lot of people who aren't like real diehard Beatles fans like us, love In My Life. John's voice is perfect. It's perfect in it. But what I'm most interested in when I'm listening to my favourite bit in My Life is George Martin's piano part. So I was really interested to hear what Giles did with that, and he did a great job. Just a great job with that. It's you just got to hear it. For me, it's just so classical. To me, it's really the best part of the song, and Giles did a good job there. Track 10, If I Needed Someone. Now, this is another one that should be a gold standard, which all the other mixers should be held up to. George's jangly guitar is brilliant. Ringo's drums, the snares turned up, the harmonies are exquisite. It sounds like they're in the room. He really did a good job on this. I don't know why some sound better than others. Maybe they're just better recordings. Maybe they're easier to mix. Again, I guess, you know, If I Needed Someone is more of a sparser song than some of the others, but this is one of the highlights, definitely one of the highlights of the album. Okay, and the last track that was mixed in 2023 off Rubber Soul is Girl. I think one of the Beatles' most underrated songs. It's John's voice is brilliant in this. John, one of the things I love about John is when he sang, he acted. Like, you know, for example, I'm So Tired, he really sounds like he's tired and he's about to fall asleep. Here, he sounds really weepy. He just sounds really regretful. He sounds melancholy. And Giles has done a good job in mixing those emotions around the instrumentation, which is also brilliant. So there we have it. That's all the new mixes from 2023. I've got my red and blue in coloured vinyl, and I'm very, very happy about that. I've also got coming, which I haven't received yet, but I've got Now and Then 12-inch, Now and Then CD version, Now and Then blue version, Now and Then clear version, and Now and Then marble version, all coming. Of just, you know what, it costs a lot of money to be a Beatles fan, and I've heard other people say, you know, there's a thing called Beatles tax, where us Beatles fans pay more for stuff than other fans. Like, I mean, you look at the Rolling Stones box sets and stuff, they're just way, way cheaper. But then again, the Rolling Stones are way, way less better than the Beatles. Another cool thing is, because I ordered some of these from the Beatles website, because they disappeared. So go check the Beatles website, because things are disappearing and reappearing. I really wanted that blue marble one, and it reappeared for a couple of hours, and I ended up getting it. But a cool thing is, you get a text from the Beatles saying that your record's coming. And when I opened the text, I really expected to hear a ka-ching, but I didn't hear that. Look, I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening. I checked the Spotify thing. It's funny, it gives you, I don't know how Spotify works this out, but it gives you information about your listeners, and it said the listeners to this podcast are intelligent. I don't know how it worked it out, but maybe you guys have written down what your professions are, or I don't know, maybe you've done an IQ test on Spotify, but said you're intelligent. And that got me thinking, you know, every diehard Beatles fan I've ever met has been quite intelligent. And I'd like to thank, we have listeners from over 70 countries. I can't believe it. Every time I put up a podcast, there's just more and more listeners. So I want to thank everyone out there. I want to shout out to our number one country is the United States. I want to say hi to everyone from the United States. Britain, hi to everyone from Britain. Hello to everyone from Sweden. That's our third biggest. And just people from everywhere, everywhere. Thank you very much, and I hope you get what you want with all this Beatles stuff. I know it's costly, and I hope some of you have got birthdays and Christmases around the corner and you get stuff for that. And when I hear some new news, I'll be back to talk to you. Bye.